It's broken.
All right, and we're live. Welcome everybody to Lais and the Coach. It is Friday and we have two very special guests. We've been planning this for a little bit. We talked about this at Worlds first, and then we revisited the conversation at this last show in June. And Stephanie and Carrie are the founders of Dynasty Training and Nutrition, WBFF Team of the Year 2021, and four-time Fitness Model World Champion. So guys, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Hey guys, how are you?
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
We're excited.
It is our pleasure. So just to get started, like let's just to give everybody a little bit of background, were you guys always in fitness or did you kind of just stumble upon this? How did you guys get started in this world?
I'll let Carrie start that one.
When I was younger, I owned a construction company. Anyway, after I sold the company, I took about 6 months off. And then in 6 months, I found out you can really go through a lot of savings and I became broke. At the time, I was 28 years old. I worked out a lot. So one day I was at the gym and I was just talking to someone up there and they asked me if I wanted to sell gym memberships. So I started selling gym memberships and have been in the gym industry for, well, I guess I was in it for about 15 years. Became a health club manager in the Dallas area and then a vice president of a company in South Carolina over a few different states. So I've did personal training on the side, and then but I was more in the building
operations,
big box gyms from the ground up and then running them and getting them successful and then selling them to other companies. So I did that for a long time and it kind of got to where I didn't feel like I was helping people as much anymore as I was. It was all about numbers and selling memberships and putting up PT numbers. And when I got transferred to South Carolina, my job was basically to go in and fire everybody or most everybody at every gym. And it was really hard on me. So we had moved all the way from Texas to South Carolina, super excited. And I would come home every night until 7, like, I don't like this anymore. It's like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh gosh, I got to go like interview and fire basically everybody. Everybody hates me here. Stephanie can kind of tell her story, how she got into it, but it all kind of headed together. And that's when we came up with Dynasty Training, but it kind of had her journey led into my journey. And then we kind of blossomed it all together so we could both find happiness in what we were doing.
So I'm going on to like that story. So Carrie and I both met in the gym. So I was also working at the gym and he came in as like actually a new person to this particular company that we were working for. And I was the, you know, trainer about all the systems. So I was training Carrie how to use our systems in the gym and, you know, how to, you know, do the contracts and all that stuff. And me and him just immediately connected. Carrie became my best friend. And then from there, my training partner, from my training partner, obviously to my real partner, you know, obviously my husband, but, you know, it was just like a long process, you know, with us working together and being together 24/7 and being in the gyms. We see those flaws that comes with the big box gyms. There's really good personal training studios that we've been able to see, but they're owned by someone that is passionate, not like a big box gym that, again, like Carrie said, it's all about numbers. So I did, you know, grow up playing sports just as an initial, you know, thing as my lifestyle. Like I just grew up playing every sport underneath the sun. I did, you know, gymnastics growing up. I did volleyball, softball, soccer, basketball. I mean, anything that I could do. I even did tennis and I'm not good at it. So it was something that once school ended, I needed to find, you know, some type of way to, you know, physically exert my energy. And I found the gym. So then I ended up working at the gym. So that led us to meeting. And then from our relationship building, we obviously, you know, after years of dating, we were moving to South Carolina for his position in the vice president part of Pivotal Fitness. And I got laterally moved. I was actually a general manager as well within the club. And I, you know, just worked at the downtown location in Charleston. And when Carrie decided, you know, well, at the time, actually just to scale back, I started competing while I was managing because I was already at the gym and everybody used to always ask me, are you a competitor? Are you getting ready for a show? And I was like, no, I just love to train. Like I really genuinely enjoy, you know, busting my ass and killing myself. But anyway, it was something that was a notion and Carrie always tried to push me. He was always like, you know, you should compete. You should compete. Like, just try it. And I would say, you know, one day I'll compete. Like, I really don't, necessarily like the physique looks that I'm seeing on stage at the moment. Like NPC has a required look, IFBB is a required look. It's very cookie cutter, standardized, you know, physiques that you have to achieve. So I never was really enthusiastic about having to size down for bikini or size up for figure in their division. So I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to continue training and do my own thing. And here came WBFF, right? Like I freaking saw Andrea Brazier's freaking six pack with her wings and her freaking amazing legs. And I was like, Carrie, now this, like, I don't like, I can work for this. Like, this is something I would be very motivated to want to aesthetically achieve, because I've always been goal driven as far as like, you know, physique and trying to improve, you know, year to year. So for me, it was a one and done type of like thing that I was going to do. And after doing my first competition, so real quick story, one night we were actually just having fun, had a date night.
Of a glass of wine in me.
After like a bottle of wine, Carrie just registers me for the show that I had already kind of been talking about. Like, I'm like, oh, this one would be doable. We would be able to do a vacation to it. Da 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 da. You know, kind of game planning. And he registered me. And I remember the next morning, I'm like, you really registered me? Because, you know,
I bought tickets to Tampa, hopeful, registered. Because I wanted to take her. We were almost 2 years into our relationship, but we took it super slow. So it would have been our first vacations. Like, this is my way to take Stephanie to the beach in Florida.
So, you know, I just thought of it as like, let's do this as a one-time thing. Okay, cool. Let's push myself. Let's train for it. I honestly fell in love with the process. It was a complete different, you know, approach from what I had done. Like, I actually had to clean up my nutrition because I didn't really care about cleaning it up when I trained really hard. I was actually that person that used to think like, well, I train to eat, guys. Like, let me eat whatever I want. Like, I want to train to be able to eat whatever the heck I want versus with the competition prep, you do have to be a little more meticulous, right? So we went with what we knew and what Carrie's, you know, knowledge, which was more IFBB NPC type of approach, and easily was not what the WBFF was looking for. So here I come into my first show, you know, trying to, you know, bring in a very, very conditioned look and like probably too much.
No posing practice.
I had no posing practice. I didn't. Nothing. I was just going to do this as a market off my bucket list. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, no big deal. Posing doesn't matter. I didn't know. Okay. Amateur. So I got hooked at my first show. It was Tampa back in 2015. So there was still a Tampa show. It just returned actually this year. I'm super excited for that, you know, being back on the calendar. But it was last year, there was a Tampa show before, you know, it took a little break, and I traveled to it. I remember going up against Roberta Zuniga, which, you know, this is a really extreme big profile in Brazil.
After the show, Stephanie, like, I just stood next to somebody that has over a million followers. She had like 200 at a time.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, this woman's insane. Like, you see her glutes, her legs. Like, I was mesmerized. In love with the Federation. I was like, Carrie, I guess let's do another show. Like, I want to do one. So we did back-to-back shows, and I ended up getting my pro card at the following show. So we ended up traveling to Oklahoma to that show, and that's no longer a show on the map either. So it's just, you know, a long time ago, 2015. Well, not too long, because I think we've had some veterans that have been with us for like over a decade, right? Like Michelle and JJ, right? They've been with them since the beginning. So after Oklahoma, that's kind of when the whole thing happened with Carrie's promotion, and I was already kind of in the trenches of competing. So I continued. I was like, I want to do a pro debut. So I made my pro debut in 2016 in LA. And that's when Hattie actually had won her first title. So that's when I met Hattie. I went up against Hattie, and I remember placing third. And again, feeling just so proud at being able to achieve, you know, a top placing, number one, and secondly, being able to be with someone up there on stage that I admired and that I really looked up to and get to know her on a deeper level. So it was a very big eye-opening like experience even for me, because I knew I hadn't practiced posings for my first couple shows. First show, none at all. Second show, obviously tried a little bit because I knew there was a big portion, but you still don't grasp what posing really is within the WBFF until you go to a pro show. And after the pro show, you kind of get, okay, I need a posing coach, which is when I hired Toby. So I've been working with Toby Harrison for, you know, a long, long time. He was actually the one that started, you suck on stage on posing. He was so straight up with me. He goes, you are like, you have potential, but you have like a lot of, you know, bad posing going on. So we started working on it. I wasn't going to do Toronto that year. I was like, you know what? This is cool. Like, I did my pro show. I'm going to relax the rest of the year. And this guy, Toby, all the people around me started saying, no, you should go to Worlds, you know, see, and it was in Toronto that year. So I ended up going to Toronto, and this is when I was again, in South Carolina, in Charleston, Carrie's going through all this really, really bad moment at work. And we decided this is the time. Like, this is the time that we can actually start developing, you know, a little more presence online and go online. So after Toronto, I placed fourth in the world, which to me, again, like, I was just ecstatic being able to be the only American in the top five. That's when Hattie won the world title. Andrea got second. I mean, you had Julia Stetcher as third. You had, you know, Susie Woofenden up there, which these are all veterans in the Federation. If you guys don't know, look up these names because they're icons.
And I told, after the Tampa show, we placed third. We didn't know what we were doing. Stephanie was the most shredded because my goal was to bring her shredded to death. She's like 116 pounds and just...
I was sick. So little.
I thought we won. I was like, oh, we got this. But I told her after that show, now that we know what this is, in 3 years, you'll be the world champion.
And I laughed at him.
She laughed at me. I told everybody at the gym, 3 years, we're going to beat Andrea. And everybody's like, Kerry, you are crazy.
I was like, just watch
us work. We're going to win the world title in 3 years. So that was part of, we started setting these goals. So the goal at Toronto was just top 10. If she would have got 10th, I would have danced just as hard.
Yeah,
and I watched it at home on pay-per-view because I couldn't go due to work. But she got fourth of that show. And so we're a year in and she's already standing on stage with Andrea Brazier. Here, which a year which before that, she's this googly eyed drooling on watching her on YouTube. I'm like, now you're standing next to this woman. I was like, we got this.
And I used to think, I still think he's crazy, but it's because he believes so passionately. And I think that when people as coaches, and you guys get this, when you see the potential in your clients and people that, you know, you work with, and you know, they're the ones holding themselves back, or maybe there is just time that's needed. You know, they just need more time. And I didn't even really see that time was what I needed. I just was like, no, you're crazy. Like, you are freaking out of your mind thinking I'm going to win a world title, you know? Like, and so I just kept training, kept, you know, doing what I needed to do as far as improvements, because once you realize you get to that lean, you know, state, you see the things that are weak, the things that you need to bring up, and, you know, obviously start trying to bring them up. And so we started seeing the imbalances. Like, they actually told me as feedback, like, hey, the physique you brought to Toronto, you can go into figure. And like, that's my biggest feedback I've gotten probably from every show. It's like, if you get any leaner or if you get any bigger, your figure, you know. And that's what a lot of people in this federation don't understand. In the WBFF, they want to be the biggest, and I've been there. Like, I wanted to be the biggest. I thought the biggest legs, because when you look at Andrea, who was the four-time world champion at the time, like, she has amazing legs. Like, I mean, her quads are huge, her hamstring belly is just insane, you know, and her glutes look natural. So I was always thinking it was about size. So the whole time we prepped, we just kept trying to get as big as possible. And then when we shred down, we just wanted to be the most conditioned. And within, you know, obviously this brand, it's about realizing that you have to be marketable, and that lean, dry look is really not marketable to everybody in the world. If you think of it as not just the brand, but of people thinking of magazines and TV. And once I started understanding that and realizing you have to scale back and have a different approach to, you know, through the prep, we started doing a lot better. So we, you know, took the feedback back, and I was like, no, I don't want to go to figure. I was like, I want to keep the size I'm in. I'll just, you know, manipulate a couple other variables. So we just started, you know, training with the intention of like athletic petite look, you know, still very, you know, progressive overloaded, but not focusing on like dimension and size so much and in the proportions. So it's just symmetry, right? Like the aesthetic side of just making sure everything was symmetrical. And from there on, we decided to go to London from that world title. Well, actually, sorry, I skipped the show.
And even before that, really what helped us, and I want a lot of people to realize this, I think people should be more open-minded to speak with people. Cause like I once told a client friend, ex-client friend, that I think what happened to you in the show is you need a WBFF coach. So some people took that the wrong way. It got posted on the internet and blah, blah, blah. But what I didn't mean by that, you have to have a WBFF coach to get good judging. What I meant is you need someone that knows what the WBFF is looking for. So we did this on our own. Stephanie got third in her debut, first at her next show, and then fourth at her pro debut, third at her pro debut, fourth at her worlds. So we're still trying, we're still learning. Nice. And Nathan Harwood here from Team Dominate had a competition. So
that following
after
season.
Worlds, mm-hmm. I'm going to take the top two people that I choose. Everybody send in a bio and photos. I'm going to choose two people and I'm going to sponsor their registration for two shows this year. So I was about to resign from my job. I couldn't take the stress. I've already had a lot of people know that I've had a heart attack. So I was getting to the point where I was like, it's not worth even though I was making the most money I'd made in my whole life, it's not worth dying. We weren't even married yet, so I really didn't want to smoke. But so she sent everything in to Nate, and he chose her. So he was going to pay for us to do the LA show and then also for Worlds. So she accepted, of course, and then we had a call with Nate. We still work with Nate for all of Stephanie's preps to this day as a team. Stephanie, me, Nate, Renata, and Toby. I'd like to give a shout out to all of them because we don't win one freaking show. Stephanie never won a crown until we all team together. We will never break the team apart because it ain't broke. We don't need to fix it.
And that's the thing that I think so many, like, again, not calling people out as far as coach hopping. You have to figure out if it's a good coach match, number one. So if that's the case, you know, it's like knowing that you're in the right, you know, not just coaching system, but also the approach and like the look. And I think that's kind of what most people get wrong. Like they go to maybe the one that has the most followers or the most popular, or let's say, you know, someone that they just know is a really shredded individual. And they're like, they're going to make me look like that. And it's not about it. It's about, you know, obviously kind of making sure you have a solid team and really not breaking it unless there's really a fallout, which there never has been. They've all made me improve. Like if Toby would have really not reached out to me and been like, hey girl, your posing sucks. Like I'm like, yes, sir. That's how straight up he was. He goes, you sucked on stage. You have great physique, but you sucked on stage. You don't know how to move it. And it was true. I was like, I don't know how to move it. So I hired Toby. And then from there, we went the sponsorship that Nate had going on at the time. I was like, so the last time that he had Dominate had done
for us to compete financially, we couldn't do it. So I went ahead and resigned. We had some savings. We're like, okay, we can do the LA show. We're not going to be able to do Worlds, but let's just see what happens in LA. After I resigned, my boss, who was a great man, he's now passed away, but he understood why I was resigning. So what he did was tell me, Carrie, what I want to do. He gave me a nice severance package so I could pay my rent because I got way too big of a house in South Carolina. I got a little above my head because I didn't plan on resigning. But part of the deal was he was going to send me to the New England Patriots and Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl. He used to be a part owner with Wayne Huizenga of the Miami Dolphins, my boss.
And so, Carrie's like the biggest NFL fan.
I'm a huge football fan. I love Tom Brady. Everybody that hates him, keep on hating. So he was going to send me to the game. And then I was like, is there anybody you could help maybe sponsor Stephanie so we could go to Worlds too? Also do this and go to Worlds. I was like, if she wins Worlds, I think our company will make it and I won't have to look for another regular job. We can just build our own business. And he's like, well, you can, he was really nice, but he wasn't weak. He's like, you can make a choice. You can go see the Super Bowl or I'll give you 10,000 and Stephanie can go try to win the world title. And I was like, oh, okay, well then we're going to go try to win it. And so we made the decision and Stephanie won the LA Pro-Am. So we decided to go to Worlds. We never set our goals too high. You'll never see Stephanie say, coming for a crown. Other people can do that, but that's just not our style. We don't want to set ourselves the best. We feel like we overachieve, so we never feel like we underachieved. So our goal going to London was second place because Hattie at the time, Hattie is still
one of the freaking greatest.
But like, didn't think we were going to go in there and knock off Hattie. Now I did think we had a really good chance to be top two. If anybody was going to beat Hattie, I think Stephanie was one.
I just wanted to be in the top three. I'll be honest. Like, and people need to understand this. Like, you have to be really realistic with their goals. If somebody has been in this, you know, brand for a long time and they know their stuff, like they are so polished, they know exactly what to bring in, they know what the brand is looking for, you probably need to nail everything perfectly for that, you know, obviously person to get, you know, knocked down from you. So Hattie was, I mean, she's still one of the most perfect, I think, in my opinion, fitness models that WBFF has, you know, and she's such a great example. And again, I was just going in, if I can just stand next to Hattie again, because that would have been my third time standing, going up against her and with her, you have to think of it that way. I'm going to stand next to an idol of mine. I'm going to stand next to like someone I've been looking up to. And I actually have the privilege enough and honor to be able to stand on the stage and actually be compared, you know, with this individual. And so for me, it's always been an inspiration. The people that I compete with, I don't look at them as a competition. As much as they are your competition, you have to like step away from thinking I'm going to go to beat this person or I'm going to go.
That's where I step in and put the pressure on. So while we're getting ready for Worlds, I started looking for a job. So I found a job in Atlanta at UFIT to be the area fitness director. So not quite as much pressure because I wasn't running the gym's bottom lines. I was just over the fitness managers and personal training. So I was offered the job and I told Stephanie, if we do go to London, and you win the world title, I'm turning the job down and I'm never working for anybody again.
Thanks, babe.
It's not cool.
No pressure.
But we'd already looked. She was excited to go to Atlanta. We found a really good area. So I was like, if not, we're moving to Atlanta. So we got on the airplane and went, and I work for myself now.
Yeah.
I work for Stephanie now.
That's awesome. You know, there's so many things there.
So that gets us to where, you know, that first world.
There's so many things there that I want to unpack, but going way, way back to the beginning, because I worked in big box gyms as well, but there was something that both of you said that happens too often. And it's that all of those people working in the fitness industry on that side lose the fitness component, and they forget that everybody's coming to the gym to work out and train and look better. And they get so caught up in the money and the numbers that there's no fitness going on anymore, you know, and that's why I left.
Yeah. And everybody in the fitness industry, nearly everyone got in because they enjoyed working out.
Yes.
And they enjoyed the change.
And then the
and
pressure
you get out feels. Because you start to hate it. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're working Number. In the, working in the gym 16 hours a day. Like, I just want to get the heck out. I didn't want to be in there anymore.
You don't want to train for yourself anymore. A lot of people that love fitness then start hating fitness because it's something that they're forced to do. And again, which is why we love fitness. And this is something that we connected from training together. I mean, we were training partners together. I remember falling in love with Carrie because of the way he trained and how much of a beast he was. And I'm like, there's no freaking even like, you know, other guy I see in here training this way. And I, again, fell in love with that. I was like, hey, can I train with you? Because we were having like the same lunch break. He's like, yeah, come on, you know? And we started training together. And again, it just was a relationship and the passion that we both had. And you see that in the big box gyms, there's so many like missing pieces. Like the people can't set up their right appointments. They have to only have one or two times a week and you still pay so much, right? You miss an appointment, you don't make it, you don't get a meal plan, all these things. You get unqualified trainers that are just getting out of school, trying to, you know, do a personal training gig to what learn and you're the guinea pig. So it really doesn't have any value. So once we, you know, won the first world title, Carrie's like, yeah, we're going to invest in going online and we're going to create our, you know, obviously company. And that's just how it started. I had already had a little notion from my first win, like, hey, can you coach me? I'm interested in WBFF. And you guys understand there's really not, well, now there's more, but at the time there was no WBFF USA coaches. They were all international. It was like, you know, Canada, Australia, Europe, you know, Brazil. So I was like, okay, there's no one here in the US. So I guess I can start coaching, you know, and bringing people to the shows. And that's kind of how I had a couple clients, but Carrie still worked full time. So I was kind of doing that. And then when Carrie joined forces with me and we decided to go all in and you have no other option but to make it work. Yeah, it's very powerful.
And somebody told me once at a show when I was telling them what I wanted to do and start this team, they told me, well, you know, there's only one coach that wins titles. You're not going to ever win a world title. You're not going to win a crown. You'll have to just coach amateurs. And I'm like, that. I love that stuff. Like I want somebody to light a fire. I was like, really? So that motivated not to beat the other person. The other person is actually a very close, dear friend of mine. And we talk about this sport, but it motivated, cause I love sports. Like it motivated me like, wow, people say I can't do this. Let's do it. And we won our first pro show. We won a crown and everybody's like, who are these people? And who's that girl
that just won the
LA show? And like we are Team Dynasty.
And
this is Rachel Lee. And she is your new, Miss International, or then it was Miss North American Fitness Diva. Yeah. But, and
that's
we just kind
so
of
cool. You know, I wanted to touch on what you had said about working with WBFF coaches, because I say that a lot too. And I think sometimes it gets misinterpreted, and the WBFF is a world of its own, and you have to be in it to understand it or to at least guide somebody through it the right way. And I think that that's for sure where that really stems from, you know, everything from the bikini to the tan to the hair to the posing to the modeling to physique. What category do you do and when do you register? And like there's so many moving parts, and if you're not working with somebody that's in that world, most likely you're going to get guided not in the best direction that you possibly could.
Correct.
Well, and as much time, effort, and money as someone puts into it, I'm not even saying they can't have another physique coach, but it's good to have someone that knows the ins and outs, because as much as people, the difference between third and fourth or first and third or, you know, at Worlds, first and second difference. I watched Stephanie and Hattie in London have a pose off for 45 minutes, and then they brought them back out for 30 more. So it's basically a coin flip. So if you're not prepared with every single thing, the whole show, that one little thing can cost you the opportunity. And yeah, you only go to a Super Bowl once. I mean, not everybody's Tom Brady. Like, sometimes you get one chance. And if one chance, you're always kicking yourself, like, my theme wear wasn't the quality of the girl I went to. Maybe I should have used someone that knew what the quality of the theme wear or the bikini. Yeah. Like, you don't know all that stuff. But if it's your one shot, maybe you have a baby the next year, you never get back into it. But your rest of your life, I wonder if I would have used Renata. I'm not saying you have to only use Renata. We only use Renata. But if you didn't have the correct person, the rest of your life, you're going to think, what if, what if? So I just think it's important to have someone to lead you. I'm not saying WF people are smarter coaches or know more, but you need someone
that knows the brand.
Really to give
you the other thing I want to touch on, because I know he's got a bunch of questions, is I love that you said, like, I wanted to go and just place top three, or just place top five, or just place top 10. Right? Because it's like, a lot of times people don't even give themselves an opportunity to just go up little by little. And they're like, no, I want to go win the show. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Like, but you know, if you've never placed, placing is already a win. If you've never placed,
it's on the stage. People don't get, like, just stepping on the actual stage. Doesn't matter if you placed or not, because guess what? It's still a subjective sport, guys. Like, so I really think when we put all of our eggs in the basket of thinking of my placing, or, you know, where, what, if did I win? Did I get a pro card? You then have such a bad rebound. You have bad taste after the show. You're not satisfied with your prep. You know, it's all about the process and the journey. As much as we always say this, and it sounds corny to people, but it really is about learning your self-discipline, the things you gain along the way, your confidence. And then when you step on stage, you won. Is it a placing that is now going to like make you win? You can actually, you know, do better. Yes, this is, again, a sport. And when we think of it as a sport, that's what we always refer back to, like, you know, like games or, you know, other actual sports, because I think that's what we need to think of. It's a team. Okay. We're not alone. We didn't do this by ourselves to get onto that stage. You need a team that actually supports and helps you, you know, people that understand you and give you that extra little oomph, you know, a little extra little push sometimes when we have bad days. And I think that's so important as far as having like-minded individuals. And that's why this becomes addicting, right? Like, we self-develop, we self-grow. So it's not about a placing. And I definitely have never looked at it that way. I wanted to win. And I think it's very important to believe in yourself that you have the, like, the actual ability to win, but it may take time, and shouldn't put an actual timeline on it.
And the pressure, like one thing that I like to tell people, that I know everybody wants to win, duh. Yes. But when you put the pressure, I'm going to take the crown, and, you know, people tell me I speak it into existence. You know, that sounds cool. You can't speak this into existence. You're not a judge. So, like, it's not like if I'm an MMA fighter, I love MMA, right? I can go out there. If I put you to sleep or knock you out, I won. Nobody can stop it. If I go to a decision, even if I dominated the fight, I still may lose because the judges may see it different. So if you put the pressure, I have to win. And I go out there and even all my family and friends are like, you looked better, you posed better. That's great. But that doesn't guarantee. So if you put the pressure, I have to win, you're giving yourself no, you still might win, but it's impossible for you to be 100% in control of it. It's not tennis one-on-one. It's not golf. It's not. So all you can do is bring your best. And it sounds cliche, but I really wish people would realize that you can still want to win it, but you have zero, you don't have zero, but you don't have 100% control over who is chosen. And it's not cheating. It's not politics. Back to fighting. I can sit with my friends, watch the same fight, and swear my guy won 4-1, and my buddy will swear the other guy won 3-2. We'll argue all night. And it's not because we even know these people. So it's not politics. It's
what you see.
We see things through a different lens. So you
just never. I want to go back to Andrea, but I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying, because I do want to ask both of you on your perspective on, when you go into your season, right, when you're going into prep, now that you've, you know, you're four-time champ, just to give somebody who is coming up in the sport a little bit of perspective as to what your thought process is and what the mechanics are of how you feel about your prep versus somebody who's kind of just dabbling, right? Like, how are you both going into, like, this new season or last season? What are you thinking? What are you doing? How are you focused differently than the person that's wanting to win, but not doing what's required to win, if that makes sense?
No, oh, absolutely does. I think every year I've learned more and more from each prep. You know, none of my preps have been the same. Very similar, but not the same, because my body composition has obviously developed and changed. My reverses out of every show bring me up to a different place every time for maintenance. So it's been very different every year. But what I would say is one of the biggest pieces that I even neglected at the beginning and was making me obviously suffer in improvements was always your year-round season. People like to think of an on season and an off season, right? Like I'm in prep and then I'm off prep. And I think that's the biggest issue, because I've even had the rebound my first show. I mean, my first show, I was like, you know, you get to eat whatever you want and, you know, you just kind of have the post-show blues and, you know, you kind of end up blowing up and have a really bad headspace. So if you're dealing with bad mentality, mindset, think of what you've allowed yourself to do, number one, because that's probably something we need to fix, is usually your reverse out of the shows to get yourself to a place that you can actually adapt, maintain, and feel good about building. This is one of the things that also leads into recovery, because year round, we kind of maybe just think during the prep itself is when I need to do my, you know, stretching and my rehab work or all the stuff that needs to be done, when you should be doing it year round. So I think a whole season rather than thinking of just on season, off season, because you have those yo-yo dieters, right? The ones that just diet or eat clean or eat like around their macros during prep. And then they have the other season and they just completely let go. They don't track. They don't, you know, they don't care. They're slobs or eating really dirty approach. It's just about having balance. And I think that's one of the things I've learned the most throughout every single prep, is being able to balance out my other half of the year. I always look at it as a season, like that is temporary. I don't want to think of it as a on and off. Like I just like, okay, seasonal, I'm going to have a little bit, maybe more weight on me. I'm going to probably have to, you know, increase my clothing size, which women are so freaking scared of, which is ridiculous, right, Elise? Like,
yeah.
So just trying to understand, you know, I'm going to undergo. And for me, it's like mindset is really going to come down to your abilities and your actions. So for me, it's like, if I'm doing the best that I can with what I have, which right now I do have some injuries that I have to kind of work through, I'm going to be happy and satisfied with what I can do, because I'm not going to be comparing this to my last prep and my previous preps where I was like, you know, deadlifting 300 pounds and squatting like, you know, 250 pounds and stuff. I'm not comparing it to that, because it's very different. So understanding that each, you know, each prep is going to look different, and maybe your body doesn't respond the same way that it did the first prep or the second prep, you're going to have to maybe do a couple things differently. And for me, it's learning that, you know, having that maintenance level is great, but then also starting a not so aggressive prep, because I've also been one that started maybe their prep at 12 weeks out. And I had to go a little more aggressively into my preps with cutting back calories or increasing my cardio, versus this approach for this year has been like, I mean, I'm doing a 20 week prep. I've done, well, sometimes I do up to 26 weeks of prep, like depending on kind of where we're at in the year, you know, and what my body is sitting at. So I think what people need to kind of maybe learn is don't think of it as just like an 8, 10, 12 or 16 week prep, or just a season of prep. Like think of it as a year round season. And how can I, you know, manipulate some of those variables to start creating some progress rate gradually and not so aggressively. So this year, yeah, things are very different for me because of my injuries. So
yeah. So for this year, for Stephanie, it's in a way it's different than other people. Stephanie's won 4 world titles. So if we take Stephanie from the first world title and say, okay, we just do the same thing as we did last year and we'll win next year, we wouldn't have won the next year. We wouldn't have won the next year. We wouldn't have won the next year. Yeah. So it's harder, in my opinion, for Stephanie to win every year by a long shot. Because we can't bring what she's ever brought. Well, how many freaking, now if you look at all her physiques, none of them are the same. That's not easy to do. So we have to bring a different look. If we bring the same look, that's okay. That's Stephanie. Somebody else is going to wow them. Ooh, who's this? We have to somehow be the one that wows them. So if we bring her the same, it's not that she doesn't look great, but I've seen Stephanie before. Look at the next one. Ooh, who's this? We got to make sure Stephanie is the, what the fuck? What did she do this year? That's why I'm really proud of last year. We've never brought anything close to that. It's a totally different Stephanie. Stephanie wasn't comfortable with the look. But so what we did this year, we go to Cabo every year in January. Stephanie and I discuss what our goals are as a company. as a family, what we want to do next, if we're going to compete. So we're never going to go into a show saying this is Stephanie's last show, because we wait until January and then we decide what our next year's goals are, one year at a time. So this year, what we did was, for Stephanie, we had a call with me, Stephanie, and Nathan. We always, Nathan's included in every decision we make for our preps, because me and Nate work together to decide, well, it's Stephanie as well, because Stephanie's her own coach at the same time now too. So like, we all decide how we're going to do it, what we want to do. So what we decided this time is, Stephanie, for this Worlds, do you want to bring the physique that you love the best to carry? Or do you want to bring the physique that we think gives you the best chance to win? Because they are different physiques.
It's very different
physiques. Stephanie likes to be shredded.
I love conditioning.
Jack shredded and just come out like a pretty gorgeous in the face and a beast in the body. So do we want to do that and just say, F it, let's see what happens? Or do we want to go with, we watch, this is the reason to have someone that's involved in the WBFF, because we see how it's, I go to every show, you guys do too. I see what they're looking for. I don't ask Paul, what is Stephanie supposed to look like this year? Never do that. He's my friend. We never talk about Stephanie. We talk about politics, sports, different stuff. But I know which direction they're going, and so does Nathan, and we discuss what we think they want. We're going to watch Bahamas this year. We have a decision of what we're trying to bring Stephanie in for this year, but watching the Bahamas show helps. Is how we're really going to find out what we want, because we're going to see what is winning, and then we're going to adjust from there. Now, Stephanie did decide that she wants to go with the physique that gives her the best chance to get another crown, so I was happy about that, but I would support whatever. If she's supposed to come in, she still may win her way too, but we want to bring something different, but still whatever, because it does change. This isn't the Federation where every year it's just about this exact
look. It's not a cookie cutter look, guys.
It does
I'm listening to you, and that's what I wanted to hear, that part, because look at all of the thoughts that go into how you decide what you're going to do. The person that's like doing this as a hobby or just as something on the side or a big goal isn't putting that much thought into it. You know, they've got a list of a million other things that are more important, but they still want the outcome, you know, and that's the part that sometimes gets missed, because you guys are mapping it out. You methodically talk about it. You've got a system in place. You've thought out what you're going to do, and then you go and execute. Whereas the other person is maybe like, yeah, I'll work out and I'll eat and yeah, I'm going to look great and I should win. And that doesn't go that way in anything, you know, not just here, in anything, you know.
But it's true. The brand is ever evolving. So much has changed, like, over the years. Even the year, we haven't been around as long as you guys. We came in 2018, but the bikinis, the posing, the physiques, the way the show runs, like, everything is
constant. You nailed it. Oh my God.
The posing in the last year, the posing is totally changed.
Completely different even within the last year. So if you've watched videos 3-4 years ago, anyone that's listening to this, like, just scratch it. Like, don't even go off of what you've studied on YouTube or, you know, from years ago, because it is different now. It is it's a modeling show. So it's geared against, like, probably more walk and, you know, transitions and flow than it is actual static posing. And I think that's, again, like, one of the things that, because WBFF continues to grow, and as they grow, they're going to continue evolving, and going with that wave is very important. I'm not going to just stay put with going on to what Carrie said. Yeah, there for competitors that have any maybe issues with the physique that you need to bring, because I've dealt with this before, like, because I got so attached to how lean I could get, or how obviously ripped and, you know, things that you see and get addicted to that, you start loving that look, and, you know, you favor that look versus maybe the brand isn't wanting that look. So understanding that there's a fine line, if your coach tells you this is where you need to stay, or this is the look that we need you to achieve, even if you don't feel your best or the most conditioned or the most shredded that you could possibly be, you're obviously, coaching is going to be part of this, and knowing someone that a coach that has the WBFF.
And sometimes you don't want to hear that from your husband. So this is why we like to have a team. You can't just have give me all these people on my team. You have to have a team that is like a family that you trust.
Yeah.
But it helps us because, you know, Nate or Toby can even tell me, hey, I want to work on this with the Stephanie, but I think she'd rather hear it from you. And then I'll say, hey, what about this? Like, not to trick her, but just so she can hear it from a different angle, like, because we'll talk about it and agree, because I talk to Toby all the time too. And just to give his ideas, I give my ideas. I always tell Toby, like, I don't know shit. I do, but, like, I'm not trying to tell you. I'm just telling you what I think. And then if we decide it, then he'll be like, why don't you try to work it in with her? And then I'll review it, or however we're going to do it. as a husband, it's difficult if it's just, I don't want her to always feel like I'm just, you know, like I'm in it to win it, and not just with Stephanie, any of my clients. I'm running around, jumping. When I go to the shows, I'm studying every single division because I want every single one of my clients to succeed. So, but this is a way that helps with Stephanie to succeed is having such a big team. And that's why, like, I just think people need to learn that we can all work together no matter what team you can, anybody can talk to anyone. I can talk to you about something. Like, we can, I just like everybody being able to be united. And obviously it's better for us to be able to be friends and work with you guys, because we can always talk to each other. If you want to know, like, hey, Carrie, what do you think? Where do you think the wellness division is going? I don't want to be like, well, I don't want to tell you. Your girl might be my girl. I mean,
who cares? Like, that's the team. This is what makes a competition. Guys, if you look at it as an actual competition, you want more people there. If you want no competition, you're scared of how many people are in the show.
Everybody
so
wants,
you want people there. You want to compete. You want to actually have some good heavy hitters show up and make you feel like this is worth it. Like, I won a freaking awesome show. I went up against, who cares if there was only 10 girls? It was some of the best 10 girls I've ever seen, you know? So it's not about the size and or that intimidation factor of us, you know, thinking, oh, well, there's 50 people in the show and, you know, half of them are in my division. It does not matter. It's about what you bring. And it really is about your preparation. Like you said, I think one of the other keys is that you wait till the last minute to pose. Again, like I did my first few shows, you leave that to the last minute and your physique looks amazing, and then you just don't know how to present it, right? I've had multiple people at shows that I've seen like that, and I'm like, oh my god, all she needed was a posing coach, or all she needed was a right, like I'm like, oh, why'd she wear an NPC bikini? And she's beautiful, she even knows how to pose, but she's wearing freaking triangle standard NPC bikini. Like, there's those things that, you know, we have to kind of realize too, that these people have potential, but they just need a little guidance. And it's very powerful the way you guys have also been able to create your team. I can tell they're a family, right? Like, all your team backstage, like, they hang out with each other, they're supporting each other. And that's what this culture really is about within, like, obviously within both of our companies, right? It's about creating a very tight knit support group that is there for each other along the way, you know, throughout the prep, because only us get it.
That's what I was telling him. I'm like, I am so excited for today, because like, I almost wanted to start this whole interview with like, we have to address the elephant in the room, because no one would ever see this coming, right? Like, no one would ever think like, why would they do something together? It's like, because that's exactly what you're saying. Like, the goal is for all of, we all have one mission, right? Like, to continue to help people and impact people and grow the brand and do what we love. And it's like, it's not like that. And people say that all the time about backstage. They're like, I went backstage and, you know, I thought all these gorgeous girls were going to be catty and bitchy and everyone was so nice, you know? And when people were like, holy shit, wait a minute, you guys are talking, like, you guys are doing something together. I'm like, yeah, like, they're our friends. Like, every show we talk, we hang out, you know? You guys and other fellow coaches are the only people we can exchange, like, where is the wellness division going? Right. You know, like, who the fuck else is going to know? And I love nothing more. I love nothing more than that.
And like, we can all relate,
Absolutely. Shocking everybody. Like, you guys don't see this coming. That's exactly why I want to do it, because this is what it's all about.
Absolutely. You guys have the same. Go ahead.
No, how do you guys balance out working together?
You know, we've always worked, people always ask this question, but we've always worked together since even before we dated.
Since 2012, it's 10 years.
Together every day, all day. Like, I've probably had maybe 2 trips away from Carrie. Like, literally, maybe 2 trips
away. She went to Australia supposedly for 2 weeks and she came back in a week. It was the first time we've been separated. She's like, hey, babe, I want to come back early. I'm like, from Australia? Okay. Call and bring her back early.
We've always worked together. So it's a different type of relationship. I think when people get into a relationship, maybe, you know, out of working together, it's difficult for them to then work together because they've always been away doing their own thing. We've always, since the beginning we met each other, have worked together and spent literally 12 hours a day together in a workspace. So at the gyms, you know, obviously you have to be in front of people. It's a little different. But then once we started working online, oh man, like his office desk is like catty corner from me right
but
here.
But we kind of have, we both have like our niches as far as the coaching. We have other businesses too that we work on. But with the coaching, like she has her strength, not really strengths, but the parts that she kind of takes care of, I have the parts I take care of.
That's how we
when one
it.
Of us needs an opinion on our part, then I'll ask her opinion. If not, I'll just, I mean, there's different cases for everything, but she kind of has her stuff she does so we can get it done more smoothly and time, you know, better time consumption. But, and then we'll talk to each other if we need the other person's opinion when we're.
So we're both there. So just to kind of give you a little quick rundown, like the way we both actually coach, so Kerry is a nutritionist of the whole company. So he does every single meal plan, every single person's macros, everything. I do all the training and all the face-to-face, you know, obviously communication, Skype calls, video chats, and all that stuff. And then obviously as a team together, we literally operate and manage our app. So we train all of our clients through an app. So we do obviously all the logistics. He does all the accounting. He does all the, you know, so we each have our own little department. We've been able
because- So like for check-ins, I'll do the check-ins and put notes like increase cardio to 4 days, or maybe we need to work
so
on mid
back
and then she'll implement that. And then if she sees something and it looks, when she and does the training and if she's going to increase the cardio or she sees their caloric burn and it's higher, then she'll tell me, hey, can you increase
the carbs,
the macros on this person? So she'll leave me a note. Even though we're across the room, we're not really talking the whole time.
We're working. Yeah. But again, we're so used to being in a workspace together. So it's a very, I guess, a difficult question to answer for those that struggle.
Right. Well, what about when you're not at work? Do you find it hard to not talk about work? Like if we go out to dinner, to talk about work, we just don't want to be in the house.
And it's not necessarily plans and goals and other.
When we go to dinner, unless there's a few, like if we go to a nice steakhouse or our favorite sushi spot, but most times when we go to dinner, we both have a laptop.
We're both working.
We have the Wi-Fi at every restaurant around here and we'll have a glass of wine. If she's not drinking, but I'll have a glass of wine. I don't have to take off the wine, but we'll both have a computer. Like we go to one of them, it's a sushi sports bar. They know us. We'll be there sometimes 4 hours on a Friday.
Just doing check-ins
and eating. And so we take we're always working. The only time we don't talk work is if we go to dinner with friends, and usually our friends want to talk work because they're competitors.
And like, that's the one time I don't want to talk about. Let's just not talk about the shows right now. Let's just literally hang out, right? So there is a time that we do like to shut it off, but honestly, everywhere we go,
we're always talking shop, except always. When we go to Cabo. We go a week and we don't look at the app. We don't look at nothing. We shut everything down and that's the only week. But we get back and we are swamped. It's worth it. That's the only week we don't talk shop. Otherwise, we're always, if we go to the kitchen right after this, we're going to be talking about probably somebody's prep for Bahamas or this or that. But that's part of, as you guys know, once you get out of the corporate world, you work 24/7. You don't have days. Mm-hmm. I know everybody sees is, oh wow, you're in the Bahamas, you're in Miami.
Or they see you at the shop or at the, you know, wherever you're having your, you know, work and lunch, and they think that, oh, they're just hanging out or they're having lunch at all these different places or in these different states and they're traveling so much. When in reality, you're working way more than when if you actually go into a place and clock in and clock out.
100%.
How about you guys?
When you work by yourself, you make your own hours, and you know, when you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. It's the opposite. You know, when you do what you love, you don't stop working. It is 24/7.
Yeah, people say that all the time, like, 'cause we drive everywhere, right? Like cross country and stuff. I hate flying and I love the opportunity to like stop everywhere and see things. But it's like, okay, I'll take this driving shift while you work and he's on the laptop and, and I work. And it's every day.
That's awesome.
He's got his responsibilities and I have mine and we split it. And sometimes he's just working and I'm working. And sometimes we got to talk about it. But every date night, everything is work. Like it's work.
You guys are on the same boat as us.
It takes a special relationship because people have been asking us even before we did this and we worked in the gyms, people used to always tell me, and we used to like
how
talk about it. How do you work with her every day? I couldn't work with my wife. I'm like, man, you married the wrong woman, bro. I used to think that was the dumbest question. Like, how do you handle being with her 24 hours a day? I'm like, well, I don't get that.
Like, that happened in COVID.
They realize they don't like their spouse when they're stuck in the house with them all day.
My kids are home all day.
You're always in COVID.
Oh, your kids are homeschooled. Oh, that's you guys are home all together all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time. Yeah. We like to be able to have the flexibility of like if we want to travel to a show, if we want to take a random day and take them to Disney. Like, I don't want to be held. Like, we're already not held by a job. Like, you know, yep. kind of schedule. I don't want to be held by the public school system.
So why the school? Oh, yeah. That is so true.
You know, that's not so to true. Mention, we don't really believe in, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We're on the same boat.
You made the decision before it was 100% necessary. Yeah, I mean, you guys were a step ahead of most people. So.
Yeah. So going back to Andrea, you know, when I opened my first gym, even before I met her, I had a poster of Andrea on the wall because of the wings. And it was like the one picture in black.
Black wings, I'm assuming. Yeah. Probably the black ones and the black bikini and the six-pack and the legs. Yeah.
It's so crazy because that picture inspired so many people, yet they didn't make it all the way to kind of pursue where she was or what she was doing, because there wasn't a lot of info back then about the WBFF or how to get involved. Did you guys struggle a little bit, like figuring out how to get started or how to even get into a show?
Yes.
I know the first thing she bought was Andrea Brazier's ebook.
I bought her ebook, okay? When she released her first ebook, I bought it, you know, and I immediately was like, okay, this is an 8-week, I think it was like an 8-week competition prep that she had released as an ebook. And I was like, I want to know the way she trains. I want to know what she does, how she eats. And I remember the ebook was like practically legs every day. And I'm like, what the fuck? She trains legs every fucking day. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, it was an insane program that I was like, okay, yeah, I don't think this is, you know, a realistic thing, you know, because programs, people have to realize, like, it's created to obviously kill you sometimes if they're not a beginner style program, right? So I remember that was a way of an insight for me to kind of see somewhat, I guess, of what she kind of did.
You went to a workshop too, remember?
I went to a local workshop here.
Yeah,
so that's actually kind of where I started learning a little bit more information. There was a person that, her name is Tammy Strike. She used to actually host the Oklahoma
shows.
She had
team of the year with Team BSH.
Yeah, right? She was Team BSH like before. 2016 or 15. Yeah, they kind of, you know, disappeared. But she ended up hosting some workshops here in Dallas. So I was already registered for Tampa. I was actually 2 weeks out from Tampa. I had already, again, done the whole prep and not posed or anything. So that was the first time I'd ever even practiced posing, because I was thinking, you know, well, this would be good to understand maybe a little bit of information, because there wasn't anything. I went to that workshop and kind of got some insights. And I remember Tammy was so surprised. She goes, you don't have a banner? You don't know about this? You don't know about that? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like,
yeah, we didn't know what a banner was. What are you like, talking? We got tickets to Tampa.
She goes, you're just showing up to the show? And I'm like, yeah. Like, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Like, is it? I didn't know you're supposed to market yourself. Anyway, so I did get a little insight from her workshop. And then from there, I had to do everything with Carrie, trial and error. I think when you're looking online, YouTube is, again, super old with a lot of the content that's out there. So I say, like, it's good to use it, but not like refer to it as a current date, what's going on now. So that is what I used to do. And honestly, for me, it was understanding modeling. And I think that because there wasn't a lot of content of it, I used to study, and still to this day, the best thing I recommend for any person that's in the WBFF is study Victoria's Secret models, study runway models, study actual models that are walking and being entertainers, because what this allows you to do is to understand what presence is. Like, what is presence? Everyone always asks, like, what's a presence mean? What does marketability mean? Like, they kind of fall in the same lane. And with that comes aura, right? Energy. And all these other models have their own unique, right? Like,
yeah,
way they walk and the way they carry this and the way they smile.
Yeah.
So the more I studied, you know, actual models, and of course, I'm not thinking of a fashion runway show, but just looking at how, you know, mechanics of the body and how they walk and how they carry themselves. So I did that more than I even studied WFF models, honestly. I used to study like Andrea. I would study like Rachel Dillon. And even actually, Rachel wasn't somebody that was online, because I competed with her, you know, obviously not in the same division, but she was still a new person, just probably like me, you know? So it was really not much. It was trial and error. I think a lot of this through prep itself, because we didn't have a coach in the WBFF for the first three shows. It was just us figuring out physique and, you know, the diet and, you know, the look, the way you're coming in with the bikini after my first two shows, and realizing you buying them online from these like pre-made sites that were in Vegas, because they're still bodybuilding sites, you know, it was only 80 so far. I did obviously okay the first show and the second show I got a pro card, but you're at an amateur level. It's a regional show. And now I can, will attest that at a regional, you're going to find someone that doesn't have an actual designed bikini. Then, okay, a few years ago in 2015, there was still like half and half, like the competitors, half of them would wear, you know, kind of a transitional, like just colorful bikini, which was a little out of the box from NPC. Like you adding a color that wasn't part of their standardized colors, you was already different and unique, you know? So I remember from there, I knew I had to pick a designer, and I went actually with Magic Bikinis. She was my first designer that I ended up picking. And that was back in 2015. And well, going into my first pro show, that was 2016. So once I worked with her, oh my God, I fell in love. And I know you connect with her too, right, Lais? Like she's just such an amazing soul. Yeah. Such a great, you know, just person. And from there, I remember, you know, picking Renata after that, because she was someone that was innovative, was part of the Federation. And I knew Magic wasn't at the time, but even though Magic now knows and stands and really has a lot more guidance through people that are within
and,
the WBF.
And we did win, like,
I did win
it
with
the Magic. It doesn't matter, we have to have some of the designs. We won a crown, our first crown.
Yeah, Magic with Magic.
So it's not... There's designers out there,
but you have to direct them more. Like you have to, you know, obviously be the one creating, not so much them leading and creating. So that was another trial and error. And then once obviously Renata, and actually it wasn't Renata that I had hired. It was the previous lady that owned the company, which was, her name was Alex Davey. And Alex Davey was actually the one that I hired as a designer. And then she ended up giving, well, not giving, but the company ended up being Renata's after that. So Renata has been in my, you know, corner since then, and I just give her all free reins. I don't select or pick a design or nothing or color. She literally has full power. I just give her all the, you know, the reins to do whatever the heck she wants, because she knows what they're looking for. So,
and all of that kind of comes to, like when you said, when you're looking into WFF, how do you even know what it's about, or how do you find it? I can put on my story right now, and most of the people that follow me are WFF. What is marketability?
They think it's like actually marketing.
And people are going to tell me, they think if you do a post on Instagram, a banner of the Boston show, the banner, marketability has nothing to do with your Instagram. Zippo. That's marketing. Yeah. I try to tell you that's marketing.
Like, it's different.
That's why I think marketable models that they put on magazines has nothing to do with your IG. We won a world title with 2,000 followers. Alexis Harrison won a crown with us with like 260. Nobody knew who she was. She just went out there, but she was beautiful and carried herself with great marketability. So we need to do a better job of it too, to put out there on YouTube exactly what marketability is. Not really the percentages as much as just, you have to bring the posing, you got to bring the physique, and you got to bring the marketability. Because so many people can look at a picture and say, this show was rigged. There's no way you can tell me by a picture who won a WFF show. How do you know anything about the marketability of the person by a still shot? If you go to an interview for Vogue, they need to see your marketability by the way you move, by the way you carry yourself. Like even your walk is part of your marketability. Plus that's what comes
with your presence,
with your, even your bikini, your theme wear, your gown. It has to be, that brings out the marketability in you. Even your makeup is part of that 40% marketability.
I've seen makeup mess girls up. I mean, actually, now that he just hit the makeup part, what favors your face? And this is sad, but if you go in with a look that you just were like, I want this look, and you tell the artist and they do this look and it just completely washes your face out and it makes you not stand out, it's again hurting your marketability of how you can present yourself versus maybe the best makeup that favors your, you know, obviously cheekbones, maybe your eyes, they don't make them look smaller. They don't make them look, you know, obviously too round, or, you know, whatever it is that favors your face. Like these are all the things. And this is all trial and error, guys. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, yes, we have to learn like along the way. My first makeup, I was like, what the hell? Actually, first makeup, I didn't even order makeup. I didn't even know. I did my own makeup. Look at how horrible. That's why I don't have any pictures, because I didn't even buy stage photography. I didn't buy a makeup.
We went to Walgreens on the way. This is what they had. They used to have morning shows for the amateur shows, morning and then evening. We stopped at Walgreens downtown Tampa. I went in and bought some lotion with a gold lotion with sparkly.
You want to know why I did it? I remember watching Andrea's YouTube at the time and watching her do self-tanner all the time.
So I was like, well, I guess this is what you do, you know, this is what you do. So babe, go in there. Cause I was literally, we're heading to the venue at like 9 a.m. or whatever it was to get, you know, to be on stage at 10. And it was a self tanner I put on. I did my own makeup backstage. Okay, backstage. I remember like not knowing what's going on. Again, I was lost. I just showed up. I really did mean that I showed up. And I ended up learning all these things. And I then realized, okay, I have to order makeup. Okay, so ordered makeup for the next time, ordered photography for the next time. So it's so hard to even like show even my own clients like references back to what I fucked everything up, because I never bought anything. I never, you know, obviously even have anything. I remember Carrie trying to record and I think I was off the screen or half on the screen, you know, because he was yelling and was trying to get me. And I remember coming on the stage and just waved at Carrie. I didn't pose. I just went up to the front and I waved at Carrie.
Well, because I'm standing just like I do now, but even louder then, because I didn't know anybody. So I'm standing right in the middle of the aisle and I'm telling the people in my row, I'm like, hey, that's my girl. Get up and cheer. Get up and cheer. So all the people next to me are standing up. We're all yelling and Stephanie comes out and just waves.
The whole time. It was like an ongoing wave. So one wave. And waved again. I swear to God, that was
it. Was a good time. We had so much fun. We celebrated. She got third place. We were shocked. I celebrated
like it was the, you know, best party of my life. So it was, again, understanding and knowing, wow, that was fun, but I don't know what the hell I was doing. I wasn't prepared. I didn't have any posing routine. I didn't know how to get makeup done. I didn't really bring the right bikini. Because again,
I was so excited about the wings.
And then
we get
the
there
show,
and these women have these huge,
and I was like,
steamer. Stephanie's got these little wings.
Holy shit. I was like, oh my God, these wings are like massively double the size of mine. You know? So I'm thinking like my little backpack wings that I brought, you know, along with my triangle.
Just a little white, the little white.
Just like white, you know, like the smallest. It just really probably covered my head and back. And then these girls with like huge, massive bikinis, like Brazilian designers coming, you know, obviously like Roberta that I like brought some massive like headpiece. And I was like, yeah, well, I totally lost that round. I remember thinking in my head. I didn't even understand the judging. I really didn't even understand. So I'm like, well, I definitely didn't do good at this, but fuck it. You know, we'll go out and learn. And when I remember seeing everything, I understood I actually have to try and get something bigger. And I think this is another misconception, because at the time when I was looking at things, I didn't understand that it was about size, and things are revolutionary now, they've evolved. It's not about size anymore. So think of at the time, you were always seeing those Samba huge wings and then the huge Victoria's Secret angel wings that flowed. Guys, those are $3,000. Like if you really look them up, I remember thinking, I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to buy those wings. You know, it's not even a pro debut or anything like that. So I remember going to Ravish Sands online, pre-custom ordered, I don't know, some wings. I told her the dimensions of the size that I wanted and she whipped them up, whatever. So like, I remember feeling a little more confident into my next show. But even then you're still learning again about the design, about your posing, about what they're looking for. So to make it easier on anyone, this, what you guys do and what we guys do, it eliminates all that headache, right? Like we just direct them straight to, this is what you need. This is what we require. Like, hey, this is what the brand is looking for. You don't have to go and guess all this stuff anymore, because we did have to do all the trial and error and learn. I made a lot of mistakes.
And we recommend, or Stephanie, well, me sometimes too, like we'll recommend what color goes with our client's skin. Or if it's a Bahamas show, we recommend different colors than if you're going to Atlantic City. It's a different time of year, like everything. And that stuff you wouldn't know, because you're inside. You're like, why would they give a crap in Atlantic City if you're wearing... Why would you rather wear a dark, like a black there and something more colorful in Miami? Because the WFF is a complete vibe. That's why yeah. We have the
fashion, right? Fashion has to kind of like match.
Yeah, the fashion side. And that's why we have media day. And like at Worlds, we'll have our media day with the gold and the black and the whole week.
It's
weekend
such a fun
is a vibe.
And, yeah, so. The events. I think that's another reason why I ended up falling even more in love with it. Because if you do like the beauty side of things, don't get me wrong, I'm not a glam person every day. Like I usually just put on lashes and that's my day-to-day look. But for the events, like getting glammed up and doing all the photo shoots and doing all the, you know, styling, like it is so much fun. And that's what, again, becomes part of what we like to do year round. And I think that this is the lifestyle that we've been able to, you know, really enjoy, not just with the coaching, but also the what we do, right? Like us traveling to the shows, we're going to go to the Bahamas. Are you guys going, by the way?
No.
You all be there?
No.
No?
We are.
No.
Worlds. We'll be at Worlds.
Yeah. Why? Because you can't drive there.
Yeah. There was
maybe you could take the boat.
I went to Worlds.
Actually, you're close enough to fix me.
Yeah, I went in 2019. That was my, that was actually my pro debut.
Yeah.
And we did, we flew to Dallas.
Yeah, we flew to Dallas.
Yeah, we just, we're just opening a facility now, so we can't, like, timing-wise, is the only reason why.
Congrats, guys. Congratulations.
So, but other than that, if I have to fly, I'll fly. But, like, you know.
Prefer to drive. I got you.
So, I have a two-part question. One is, it's the same question, but in two parts. Where do you guys see the WBFF going over the next, like, 3 to 5 years? And where is Team Dynasty headed?
It's a good question. A good question.
Well, yeah. You want to go or me?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll start with that. As for Team Dynasty, we're actually in the process of doing some stuff right now. So our company now is probably about 60% competitors and 40%, I call them lifestyle clients, but
every day, yeah.
We want to start, because of what's happening with inflation and the economy, we want to start having stuff to offer people that's much cheaper that they can still get results. Because again, it's not, of course I'd stay in business to pay my bills, but I don't want it ever to get like I'm working for the man again, where everybody has to struggle to hire me. So we're going to start coming out with different things. Stephanie's about to start releasing eBooks. We're super close to our first one. I probably wasn't supposed to announce it, but just did. And we have a couple other things too that we're going to start releasing. So we're trying to become more mainstream so we can help and touch more people and have kind of a bigger circle to work with of people all over that, you know, maybe they only have $50 to do something for a little while, or maybe they have 200 and they want to do something for 6 weeks. We still want to do our coaching for shows and coaching. We coach people to get ready for weddings. We coach a lot of people for vacation. So like right now we have a lot of vacation dates throughout the summer that we're coaching both men and women for. We're expanding our men's coaching. At first I didn't do it a lot because I was in the gym business so long. I was around a lot of what we call meatheads that kind of think they already know everything. And I didn't want to deal with that.
But I think it's guys in general.
Now that we've been around.
Yeah, it is. It's just guys.
It's guys in general. Like,
but we've gotten now where a lot of men are reaching out. We have.
I think
it froze up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now we're back.
What were you saying? Oh, it froze up again.
No. Keep going.
Where we're getting now, where a lot of men are signing up. It's happening quite often after their wives work with us for like 6 months, and they see the changes in their wives, not just their physique, but their wives. Mm-hmm. Now the wife is wanting to eat healthy. Now when they go out to dinner, the wife is eating healthy foods that are actually good foods. Like I always try to stress to people, they're like, I couldn't eat good because we went to Wendy's today. I'm like, well, that doesn't make
sense. Wendy's two times a week.
I get a grilled chicken and a baked potato plain there right after I train all the time. So, but I think that the men then learn, if my wife's doing this, she's looking better, we can do this together. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to suffer to change our lives. We can still, I mean, plus you guys know how it works. You still get to eat pizza. You still get to eat sushi. I mean, it's not like, so I think the men start learning that. And plus having Stephanie, then the men are like, oh, cool, it's a world champion. If it's just me, it's like, well, I look the same. You know, I can do whatever Carrie can do. Like, that's not even what it's about. But so it kind of helps. They still want to work with me, but they kind of have a, like, they can tell people too, I work with the four-time champion. So it kind of loosens the men up. And then once we start working with the men, they love it. But you know how we all are.
Because a lot of our demographic is female-based. Like, obviously, that's just kind of the way this works. You know, a lot of females invest in themselves a little bit more. I need a little more guidance and are coachable, you know? And kind of how you said, guys, yeah, that's just guys. Like, it's the way they are. They're more uncoachable. Although we've had uncoachable women, guys are more uncoachable than women. So I think, like he said, it's more about having the other person or the, you know, partner in it too. And we have multiple couples that we train that are together to compete and that don't compete. So it's just, you know, creating something for everybody. I think that's the thing that right now people look at us as just like WBFF coaches or just competitor coaches. And that's not the case. Like, we actually have a big wide variety of, you know, other clientele that is nothing related. They're already on social media. Like, they won't even post a thing, or they're not even on social media. So
and then the other two things that we were actually going to start adding retreats, and COVID hit. So our first retreat was during COVID, which worked out great because we were getting ready for Worlds in Bahamas, and so was our team, and so was Stephanie. So when COVID hit, I just asked everybody that was on the team, if you're not scared of traveling, we're going to Tulum, I'm renting a mansion, and we're going to have our first retreat. So we want to start doing retreats, like two retreats a year, which will be another part of Dynasty training. So we want to have other avenues. I would like to focus and maybe at one point have four retreats a year around the US, and then also have four times where we can meet and people can come and we can
no matter where part of the, you know, we have like their weekend or whatever, however many days we do the retreat.
And we'll have like guest speakers. We've gotten to know a lot of people, not just in the fitness field, but mental health, nutrition, different things. So like maybe a couple times a year, we'll have not a retreat, but
just seminars.
Like a seminar where people can come, we'll have people speak, everybody can have a good time and learn and kind of just help teach people about the lifestyle itself.
Yeah, we do like a 48-hour immersion. They'll come here, they spend 48 hours with us. We cook, we train, we pose, and they spend the weekend with us. They'll stay locally, but they'll spend the entire day, the entire weekend with us. And it's almost like a 48-hour intensive.
It's important to get in person, you know, because like you guys, we do everything virtually. And so it's really nice to connect in person outside of a show weekend. Because again, just like you guys, we do contest prep, but we have a lot of lifestyle clients. And so it's like, even those clients even more, you never get to see.
You don't see them.
Yeah, we get to meet each other. More of our like lifestyle people, because they don't actually ever get a taste of all the other stuff. You know, they never get to a show weekend or anything. So for them coming and learning how to prep food and how to train, you know, the way we were trained, is always stepping into the next thing. And what about the WBFF? Where do you guys see that going?
You know, I think with the WBFF, because it evolves and changes so often, every year it's different. Like, it's not going to be like drastically different, right? Where it's not a modeling show, but it's continued getting more and more into an entertainment company. And that's why they even switched their brand name. Like, it went from WBFF Official to WBFF Entertainment, because they want to have more of a performing modeling fashion show. Like, that is just what they are envisioning, and they're trying to develop more and more. And with that comes probably more catwalk, in my personal opinion. I think the walk is going to be more important in the next couple of years than it ever has been in the WBFF. I think that, along with your fluidity, like how well you're able to transition and move and flow and not be stagnant, is going to be another big thing within the WBFF, that you can already see the transition, like how it's already evolving this year alone. Like, this last show, God, like, what did they do? Switch up the whole presentation of the show. The routines were all messed up. I'm sure you guys had the same backlash, right? Like, my routine, I couldn't do it. I didn't. Oh my God, I was rushed.
They told me to hurry up.
They told me to rush. Exactly.
We are very loyal to anybody that is a part of our lives, and we will be with the WFF forever.
We'll be part of the
one thing I will say is, without the WFF, I still would have been successful. We still would have been successful. We still would have owned a business. But Dynasty Training and Team Dynasty are here because of Paul and Allison allowing us to be a part of the Federation. They've always supported us. And I don't think a lot of people understand, like, people will say, how much money did Stephanie win for Worlds?
How much does Paul
pay you to go to these shows? I'm like, look, I am an entrepreneur. I do my best to help promote Paul's company. Paul helps promote my company. We work together, just like we can do with you, just like we can do with Nate, just like we do with Christos and Allie. Allie's Angels, we've been working with them. They're another team that we're super close with. No jealousy. I love watching them. They're killing it in life. Not just WFF, but their other businesses. But I do want everybody to know that we owe a lot of thank you to the WFF as a federation for always supporting us. And it's not about someone giving us $20,000 to what. Now, listen, I would love if the world title paid $100,000, but that's not what we're here for. The WFF is a brand that really supports us and allows us to flourish. They treat us with respect, so we'll always be loyal to them. That's something I can promise. If we ever did retire, if she may go for 10 of these things, who knows? But if we ever did retire from her competing, we would still stay a part of the WFF. We would still go to shows. Even if we didn't have a team, I would, if we didn't have a team, I would probably request to Paul if he considered me as a judge. I don't want to judge right now because you know how I am. I love watching in the crowd and cheering my team on. Like I, if I'm at the judge's table, I don't think I can be up dancing.
Oh, me and Lais understand the freaking pain that we can't cheer or we can't even say an ounce of anything. You know, when we're at a judge's table, we're like, oh, I literally teared up at this last one on some of my clients. And I know she was like dealing with the same thing. I mean, you had your daughter up there, you know? So it's very difficult. I'm really, really big on like not having any bias whatsoever, especially, you know, going into that judge's table because it is not on my team. They're not my client. It's not anything about that. It's who showed up the best that moment, that actual moment, not that day. They maybe look better in the morning than they did in the, you know, show day. And that moment, so it's who walks on that stage and actually did their best and outshined everybody else that's going to, you know, win in my book. So I think it's very difficult to be able to say that, you know, as far as judging, coaching, and, you know, obviously being a competitor, because you get this place. And for us, we're definitely going to be a part of the brand no matter what, you know, unless, you know, something terribly happens to one of us, like we're here, you know, we're going to be part of it. And the WFF changes and we're going to be working with those changes. So it's more about, you know, making sure that we go with the changes that happen and we continue evolving along with the brand, because for anyone thinking that you're going to know what's going to happen next year, gosh, like, I don't even know what's going to happen next year within like the world championships. Where are they going to choose the location, whatever, like everything is always going to change. So we're, you know, it's a very difficult question to ask or answer. I'm sorry, but I think the biggest thing that I know will change or the way it'll be heading, like I said, is more into like that fashion modeling type of show. So like the presentation, I think, is what's going to change.
Me too, the most. The outfits, like the gowns.
Yes, the outfits, designs
and fashion, along with like the way you present, is probably the things that'll evolve the most. And Paul and Allison, hey, they go big. They'll probably just continue getting more and more big in their present, you know, obviously the way they present their shows. So that will probably be something very exciting to look forward to. But I'm excited to ride the wave.
I don't know what's happening at this Worlds, but I know that Paul told me I'm coming to Worlds. It'll be my first Worlds in Vegas that I've attended. This will be the biggest and baddest one yet. So I don't know what surprises he's got up his sleeve, but there's going to be something big.
Yes, he was telling us. It's going to be like, we have some crazy stuff planned. And I'm like, just tell us.
I think this is just like inkling. I think that because they're going to be an entertainment company, there's going to be performers. Take my word for it. WBFF is going to be becoming where there is an actual show. Like it's an actual, you pay to be in the crowd and you're going to get a damn show, you know, you get amazing beautiful physiques and, you know, obviously a presentation of models, but then also probably a mix of, again, these are just inklings. I don't know. This is not coming from, you know, Paul or Allison. It's just the way, the direction that they are, you know, going, even with the WBFF kids and the dancers and, you know, even concerts in the Brazil show. Before COVID, they actually had a whole like artist perform in their intermission. So, I mean, that's already something that they were kind of doing slightly before COVID happened. And then obviously COVID kind of killed concerts and killed obviously those type of events. So I think that'll kind of be more of the upside things that'll be changing as far as the WBFF.
So one of the things that I always ask is, what do you guys say to the person that's watching or listening? You know, this will be YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. So the person listening or watching that's like considering doing something like this, like you were when you did your first show, but is not sure that they want to take the plunge and sign up, or they don't have that person that signed them up without them knowing. What do you guys now, after everything you've done, say to that person that's kind of on the fence?
You know, it's mainly first about actually knowing you're ready to prep, because the prep itself is very difficult. So if you have a wrong reason, a wrong intention behind prepping, and it's just for a physique, let's say a six pack, just as an example, and like maybe this person's just getting started on their journey, a prep itself is not the best thing to get to stage, because they're only going to get body dysmorphia. They're going to become very, very low self-confidence going against other, you know, women that maybe are ahead of them. So it's mainly first assessing if the individual is ready for an actual prep, whether if they're in the transformation category or not. I think that's another, you know,
discussion on its own, because transformation is the best stepping stone to be able to like learn and understand what's happening within the weekend, what entails, right? Like the show and the ins and outs and the actual run of the show. So it's more about a stepping, you know, into it. If I'm already ready to compete, and it doesn't mean that you're ready to actually compete, but you have the itch, you want to test yourself. You are physically, you know, capable of doing everything that comes with the prep, right? And you maybe have a little lean muscle mass. Like, doesn't mean that you're completely ahead, but you have some, you know. I think that just trying it, just testing the waters and seeing if this is something that you even like, because you have to first understand that getting to the stage is the hardest part. Like, if you don't actually commit to it and register for a show, one of the things that we do with our clients that, oh man, it works. And sometimes it doesn't for those, but you have to force them to register, not 6 weeks out, not 8 weeks out, when like 12, 16, 20 weeks out, that way there is no out, right? Like, so once you commit financially, that's it, game over. You're going to get there.
But before, what I would suggest before getting to that point of any commitment, I would sit down, get a pen and paper and make a list of everybody that's in your close circle in life. Every single person, your husband, boyfriend, kids, mom, dad, whoever you speak with on during like a weekly basis, make a list of those people, decide which people are going to support you and be your ride or die for that journey. Everybody has the friend that can still be your great friend, but whatever you do, they're going to give you a negative feedback. Like, hey, I'm going to do this. Why are you going to do that? That's not going to, and you have to make a decision. Am I willing to alleviate these people from my life during this prep? And you got to find out how many people are going to support you. And you have to separate your positive support system from your negative people. When you have the negative, because everybody's going to have negative days where this sucks. The meal plan sucks, or you fell off today and you start feeling like shit. If you have a friend that you can say, hey, I ate a cheeseburger and pizza today, and they're like, well, F it, let's go have a drink. You can't have those people in your life throughout this prep. You got to have the person that's like, hey, don't worry about it. Let's go out and have a salad now, or let's talk, or I know you're frustrated, but you know, let's go to the gym together. Or a coach is important too. But before you even get to the coach, you need to make sure you're surrounded by people that support your journey, because you can't do this. Not anytime I say you can or can't, nothing's 100%, but almost nobody can do this by themselves. I guarantee you, Stephanie's a beast. But Stephanie needed a support system, and Stephanie has her sister, her parent, like everybody. And there are people in Stephanie's family that at first were very leery. So she had to kind of push them back, and then they
step away.
And as she became successful and they found out she's actually building a life on this, it's not just, you know, some people think of it more
as like Bane. Just like Bane for doing this.
But I think it's very important to find out who your support system is and who's not, and make the decision. Am I going to be able to even have the talk with this person? If you're not going to support my journey 100%, we're going to take a break, and we can reconnect after I'm finished. But I would also let them know, keep in mind, this may be the rest of my life I might be doing this. So you're either going to have to support me, or we're going to have to stop the friendship. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to make it. You got to have people that lift you up and push you to the finish line, because this shit is not easy. Everybody starts out, I'm going to win a crown, I'm going to do this. I'm like, we're one day in. It's like when I used to sign somebody up at the gym. I'm going to come twice a day. I'm like, you haven't even ever worked out before. And they'll come twice a day for 3 days, and I'll never see them again. They won't answer when I call them. So you really have to have the right people around you. And then the next step, I think, would be to research a coach, unless you have like a partner who's already a trainer and is going to be your, because you need somebody to support you mentally and also knows the nutrition and the physical aspect. But then I would look for a coach. Before I hired the coach, I would get references of people that are on the team, not even really ask the coach for references. Look at their Instagram and see who their clients are and reach out to the clients.
See how they're experiencing.
So you know you're teaching, you're getting real feedback from a real client, and get three to five
That's
people and
research.
To see what they say. Because I can be a great coach, but somebody might say, hey, Carrie will tell you what he thinks. And some people don't want that.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, that's going to crush me. Well, then I'm not your coach. Some people want somebody that's a little different. With us, it's good because we have good cop, bad cop. So I'm not saying I'm bad, but I'm very straight up. So I think the second step would be after you vet your close friends and family and make sure that they're going to support you, would be to find the correct coach. And then with your coach, you can make the decision of
the right
what
show
and how much time.
Realistically.
And then as soon as you got all that put together, I think you slap it down and register.
You have to register. Yes.
As soon as you, and I tell the clients all the time, they don't register. And then finally at 8 weeks after I've been telling them since 12 weeks, you need to register. When they register, like, you don't understand how much everything changed. I thought I was working out as hard as I could. And I'm like, I understand.
Trust me, it does not kick into gear until you know 100% I have to make it to that stage. I financially committed to it. I'm not going to waste $500. You know what I mean? Just because I want to give it away to somebody, right? Like, you literally commit and you start putting a little extra fire underneath your ass, underneath the cardio, underneath the extra weight, you know? So it's very powerful to register for your shows, but there's things that you got to figure out before registering, right? Like that person.
The cost of the show.
Right. Yeah. The cost and obviously all that. But if you're not really 100% committed to yourself, you can't commit to a show. Like, you already know I miss my workouts, I miss my nutrition anyway. No way I'd be able to commit to doing all of this 100%. So there's those individuals, right? You have to kind of come to the terms, like, are you actually ready to commit to yourself? Because once you can commit to yourself, then you can commit to a stage, you know? So,
and maybe have like a consult with, but we have, there's people that we have consults with, yeah. And I tell them, and
I tell them, no,
I tell them, I don't think you're ready for a prep right now. We just spoke for an hour. I don't think you're there yet. I'm willing to work with you as a lifestyle. And after 6 months, if we're there, let's pick a show. Some of them are like, well, screw you. Somebody else will take my money. Well, that's good.
And others will come and do it for a year.
And I tell you now, they're my lifelong friend and they respect the shit out of us. So
I
even vet your coaches, but the most important thing I believe in this industry is to be surrounded by the correct people.
Your environment, for sure.
100%. Yeah, guys, nice. If you are listening or watching, you definitely want to go back. There are so many takeaways from what we would say two experts in this field. So if you are in this space where you are contemplating coaching or contemplating getting on stage, this is one of those episodes that you got to go back and re-listen to with pen and paper, because they gave away so much valuable information. Where can everybody find you guys? I'm gonna tag you guys in the show notes for YouTube and the podcast. But you know, if, whatever you guys have that people could find you, go ahead and plug it.
Our website. If you wanted to just look at just kind of learn a little about our company and different packages we have, our website is teamdynastytraining.com. Simple. And then
Instagram
we have
handles.
For Instagrams, we have one page that's more about nutrition and workouts and just positive reinforcement. That IG page is Dynasty Training, very basic. Our team page, which is more about showcasing our athletes' stories, is Big Irish_Team Dynasty. And then, of course, Stephanie's page, which is more just
modeling.
Stephanie's modeling WBFF and kind of showing you what the look of the Federation is, aside from the stage, the marketability side, which I think that's one of Stephanie's, she has a lot of strengths, obviously, to do as well as she has, but one of them is her marketability. If you learn about marketability.
Guys, I was not marketable. I was not.
Hers is it's her maiden name, so it's Stephanie Ayala 7. And then you can kind of see about photo shoots and what the look is and things that make you a marketable model, aside from just being, I don't like to call anybody a bodybuilder in this industry, but in reality, we're all bodybuilders.
We're all bodybuilding, but we're models.
That's why we're all here, right?
Yes, exactly. Guys, we are so appreciative for you guys to come on and chat with us and share all that stuff. It was so awesome to chat. And honestly, we probably just keep chatting because there's so much to talk about. And we'd love to have you back on the show. We'll definitely coordinate after Worlds.
Of course. We keep going. No, for sure. But thank you guys. It's been awesome being able to connect with y'all. Honestly, like it's such a good, refreshing like air to know, you know, not just within the brand, but for others to see that this is what it's all about. It's about all of us working on the same team. Like, even though we're different companies, we're the same team. We're still wanting to better everybody. We want to show up to these shows at our best. You know, we want to work as a team and at the show. Right? Like, I want your team to be able to lean back onto our team and not feel intimidated or vice versa, right? Like, it should be a community that where we can all help each other. We're all like-minded, you guys as coaches and us. We look very, very much so eye to eye. I was able to connect with Lais at this last show a little bit more. And
so,
I was like,
so get ready, Lais. Well, next time we see you guys, before we go, next time we see you is going to be at World. So you're going to hear Big Irish yelling for you.
I always do. I'm like, he's the only person I can hear. It's the best. best.
Guys, thank you.
No, I really love you guys. We really appreciate y'all having us today.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure you like, share, comment, send any questions. I'll make sure to forward it them way. Guys, just hold on for a second. I'll stop the recording.